be seated this morning. I failed to mention that it's Shane Mackey's 40th birthday today. Remember when your dad turned 40 and you thought he was so old until you hit it yourself? And then also some of you, I don't know if you know, some of you newer ones probably don't know this. I have a brother that attends church here too as well. He likes to try to pretend that he's the quiet one of the family. But trust me, he is kind of quiet. But my brother John, would you stand, John? Would you do that? We're all looking at you. He's my older brother. He's handsome. Of course, I told him, I said, you tease me about my gray hair. Now, I've got my gray hair. Most of it, anyway. And he's kind of losing his there. And Lori's my sister-in-law. How many of you knew Lori Grant was Lori Manley Grant was my sister-in-law? I'm just going down memory lane here today, okay? Can I do that? It's my sister-in-law, and then Bryce and Brooke, my niece and nephew. Carl and Cecily are down in Stoughton. Some people think Carl's my son, but he really isn't. It's John's son. And Kyle, he's not here. They live in Wausau. Kyle and Nene. And Nene is Sister Vonna Mackey's sister. And I am related to Woodrow. I'm just kidding. We are related to Woodrow Wilson and Ulysses S. Grant. I got a book in my office that's the Leadership Secrets of Ulysses S. Grant. It's called Whiskey, Cigars, and Leadership Tips. It was Bishop's Library, so I'm going to blame it on him because it was his book. So all those years you thought you were getting John Maxwell, it was actually... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You know, this is kind of playing into really what I want to talk about this morning. We've been in a series, and some of you probably think that I've forgotten all about this series. It's just that we're kind of fitting this in. So a quick review since... I last preached on a Sunday morning. My wife and I, we've actually traveled a little over 7,500 miles. We've been by boat. We've been by plane. We've been by big boat, ship, small plane, small boat, taxi cabs, buses. We've seen three different species of whales, black porpoises. I didn't even know they were black porpoises, but we saw black porpoises and walruses. Got up and close. Some eagles, too many eagles to actually count. Puffins. How many of you know what a puffin is? Yeah, saw some puffins. Brown bears. Got to see some brown bears. And got to see some up and close, very up and close, black bears. We saw numerous glaciers, too many to count. We ate some really, really good food. You knew that was coming here. So how many of you ever gone on a cruise? They have really good food on cruise. And it's just like all you can eat. And if you don't like something, you can just tell them you don't like it, and they'll bring you something else. And you don't have to, well, you do have to pay for it. Trust me, you pay for it. But lots of really good food. And we had one, we were at a log cabin resort place that we were flown in by a small plane. Float plane landed in a big bay with a big glacier. Had smoked salmon over an open fire. And this bay, all the water was all fed by the glacial water that was melting off of the glacier. And I had some lemonade with some 400-year-old glacier ice. Now, do you realize 400 years ago there was no diesel smoke? There was no exhaust fumes, so that ice was like totally pure. Probably the cleanest ice I've ever had. And Sister Lois, she got really up and close and personal with a bear. I found out that there's a this resort we were at, there's this big black bear, and it comes in every day after lunch or dinner, and they have this big grill. Oh, there it is. They have this big grill, and this bear comes in and licks all of the nice leftovers off of the grill. And we were asking, and they said, we call her Grandma Lois. That's the name of the bear. So here's our Grandma Lois and Grandma Lois. That's actually not the real bear, okay? Close enough, though. So Grandma Lois with Grandma Lois there. And we were able to travel. We traveled with my aunt and uncle, Rick's and Carolyn Bussey, and they'll be coming up here sometime the end of July into August. Looking forward to that. They're going to stay a few, probably 3 or 4 weeks with us. And my mom's sister, Charlotte, and her husband, Lynn, some of you may have remembered they came about 10 years ago. They're going to be here in just a few weeks visiting with us. So we have a lot of family coming through this week or this summer, and excited about that. But it's great to be back home. You know, it's nice to go on vacation, but it sure is nice to come back home. And I'm so glad we had a safe trip, had a lot of good times, a lot of good fun. But there's nothing, no place sleeps like home. You agree with that? How many of you? That's just how it is. And while we were gone, we had the Bratfest. How many of you were able to make it out to Bratfest? I just want to thank Brother Tim and Sister Kim Knopp. Could you just stand this morning? I'm into having people stand here. Tim and Kim Knopp, they put in so much time and organization with our Calvary Gospel Church crew and received a special award. I think it's called the Maggie Award, if I'm not mistaken. And they're going to be representing that at our Summer Fun Fest. And that's Tim Metcalf from Metcalf Markets. And so we're excited about that. Our church is one of the largest contributors to the Bratfest as far as volunteers. So I'm so thankful. And also I'm thankful for Brother Brad Topp for keeping my lawn mowed while I was gone, so that when I came home, I didn't have to call the neighbor and have him come over and bail it. So thank you, Brother Brad. And, you know, it amazes me, church, what such a beautiful world that God has placed us in. You know, God is such a great God, and I just stand in awe at the mighty wonders that he's created for all of us to enjoy. And, you know, as we were traveling, and you just see, it's just, there's so many beautiful sights you see, and you think you see the most beautiful sight, and you go around the bend, and there's something that's just like, how does it get any better and prettier than this? And then you go around the next bend, and there's a waterfall, and then there's an eagle over the waterfall, and there's a bear drinking water out of the waterfall. And, you know, I mean, you just go on and on and on, and it's so beautiful, and I just stand in awe that God has entrusted us with all of this. But yet above all, the psalmist wrote that God created all of these things. We think he created it sometimes for our pleasure, but he says, I created all of this for my pleasure, for my pleasure. So I'm going to take and I'm just going to review just a little bit from our last. We talked about the sovereignty of God, how God controls all things, how that God sets up kings. We worry sometimes about the day that we live in, about everything that's going on around us and the news and such. And God sets up kings, and God takes them down. God sets up the boundaries. He tells the ocean where to stop. He tells it where to start. When the tides come in, we were at some areas where the tide differential was 40 feet difference from low tide to high tide. And God says, you know what? This is high tide, this is as far as you're going in, and this is low tide, and this is as far as you're going out. So he sets all of these boundaries. He tells the oceans when to stop and when to start. And he set all the planets spinning. He put us all around the earth, our solar system. We all go spin around the sun and the earth. We're one of the planets that spins around. We're the third rock from the sun, in case some of you didn't figure that out. But in Hebrews 1:3, it says he upholds all things by the word of his power. So that means that God's word is so powerful that it holds all things in check. He tells us, the scripture goes on to say that I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. I hold the past, I hold the present, and I hold the future. Your past, your presence, and your future is held in his very hand. When you give your life to God, you give him control of your life, and we should give him control of all of our life. But that's where our battles often begin, because God is in control of every atom that's inside and outside of our bodies. But we want to control our bodies, and we begin to get into this battle of our flesh and our spirit. But by him, all things exist, and everything is ultimately made to line up to his divine purpose and his divine will. And I do believe that every one of us here today, you and I, we are the ultimate of his purpose. He created a lot of beautiful things, but the apple of his eye are you and I. It's not some eagle flying in the sky, and it's not some bear drinking water out of a beautiful, pristine stream. You and I. We have to understand, church, that there's nothing that's outside of God's control. And God has a way of aligning things for us in our lives. He will align us with the right people. He will put us in the right place. He will put us in the right job. And all of these events, God will line up for us if we are submitted to his will in our lives. And why does he do this? Because he wants to fulfill his plan and his purpose. And God doesn't have a plan without having a purpose. Do you understand that? When God has a plan for your life, there is a purpose, there is a reason behind what God is doing. And the purpose is our involvement in his kingdom. He does give us talents, he gives us abilities that we're able to use in the secular world on our jobs and perhaps with relationships outside of these four walls. But the main purpose that he gives us, all of these things, is for our involvement in his kingdom. You see, God has this crazy idea that everything is really about him. And we think everything is really about us. But it's all about him. And his desire is to take us from where we are up to the next level. But not just there to where that we just are able to peer into the next level or the next dimension. But he wants us to live and maintain and grow in that level. Just as relationships. We have relationships. You have people that you work with that you're just an acquaintance. You know them. If you saw them in Walmart, you would say hello to them. You would be kind to them at the gas station. But they're not really your best bud. You see, and God is looking to develop a relationship with us that the more we learn about him, the more he learns about us, the more we learn about him, and that relationship grows just as our personal relationships grow. The more I find out about Wallace Carter, the more we hang out together, the more we have dinner together and maybe go golfing together, the more we find out about one another, the more we begin to draw closer and we begin to share more things with one another because we built up that bond of trust. And it's the same way with God. Sometimes you wonder why, God, why don't you share anything about yourself to me? Because there's a trust issue. God says, well, I got to trust you before I'm going to share things with you. So this is all about relationship. God brings people, God brings events, God brings circumstances into your life at exactly the right time for you to get to the next place that he wants to take you to. And when God begins to move in our lives, the timetable, God wants to move us forward. And when God begins to align things in our lives, we need to understand that as God aligns, God accelerates. So we need to get ready. The danger is that sometimes we can wander around in life and still receive the blessings of God. And just because we have the blessings of God on our lives, we think that we are okay. But we have to understand that Israel had the blessings of God on their lives. They had manna, they had water, they had this fire that led them by night and a cloud that led them by day. They had all of these blessings of God, but they still were not in line with what God wanted and what God expected from them. So we have to be careful. Just because you got all your needs met does not mean that your alignment is correct in God. So one may ask, how do you get divine alignment to operate in your life? And we covered these 4 points. You have to have your geography right. It means you have to be at the right place, the right church. You have to have the right doctrine. Make sure your priorities are right. We're going to talk about this tonight. You have to make sure you check out who you spend the most time with. What's most important in your life is what you do most frequently or most frequently you put first in your life. If you wake up in the morning and you say, God is the first priority of my day, but you're on Facebook or Drudge Report, then God is not the first priority of your day. Okay? Well, there's nothing wrong with checking your Facebook if you feel you have to. There's nothing wrong with checking the news if you feel you must. But don't be adamant about saying God is number one when really God is not number one. And then also we have to check out any fear or any anxiety that we have in our lives, and we have to deal with them. And how do we deal with the fear and anxieties is by trusting in God. And we have to prepare to move quickly into something new in God, because God desires, you know, God doesn't want you to stay in the same place where you are right now. Did you know that? God doesn't want you to just always sit where you're always sitting and never grow beyond the point that you're growing. God wants you to grow. God wants to promote you. God wants to accelerate your life. So you have to have the right people, right place, right time. So today we're going to cover something that is very, I just say very dear in my heart. And so our series is titled Divine Alignment. And this morning's message is titled The Right Place Matters. The right place matters. Did you know that places matter and places are very important to God? Did you know that? Places are a key part if one is to experience our life at any level or degree of divine purpose. So if we want God's divine purpose in our life, where we are in our life makes a huge difference to God. Being in the right place at the right time moments is such a critical key to experiencing our life of destiny, our divine purpose within the kingdom of God. In order to have a life-changing moment of destiny, one must have one of these key components in your life. You have to have the right timing. How many of you ever have said, man, if my timing was just a little bit better? You have to have the right timing. You have to have the right people in place in your life. You have to have the right things in place in your life. We're going to talk about that tonight. But you have to be in the right place in your life. We talked about the sons of Issachar back a few weeks ago or better, and how that the sons of Issachar, they knew and understood the times in which they lived in. But what about us here today? It's the most difficult to always stay within and always operate within the right time. Timing is the most difficult, I think, of all of these four components. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. Not today, this morning, but a little bit later. But one cannot always do a whole lot about the timing because we don't control the clock. But understand how we can compensate about sometimes our lack of ability to understand and deal with the timing. We can control the place. So you can most definitely do something about the right place. You can do something about the right people and the right things or the right priorities in our lives and our lives that will allow us to maintain as well and grow in the dimension that God desires His church to grow in. Because God wants His church, if I can just be so blunt this morning, God wants His church to simply grow up in Him. He wants us to grow up. He's saying, listen, church, what is ahead of the church, the greatest battles that the church is ever going to fight is right on our horizon. God is coming back so soon. And so many of the battles that we're going to be fighting are literally battles between our own two ears. And God is saying, listen, church, you have to mature, you have to grow up. And he wants to launch us as a person. He wants to launch us as a church into our destiny. So specific places are very important when it comes to our relationship with God. Now, we can look at Moses, and if we go back into the Old Testament, we can look at Moses, how God took Moses on this 40-year journey in the wilderness. Later, as Moses led Israel out of Egypt, we can see that Moses is taking Israel back to some of the very places that God had dealt with him on various issues in his life. So here we find Moses years later taking Israel back to the place where that he first discovered who the great I am that I am was. And places matter to God. So as Israel travels on their 40-year journey, if you were to take the patriarchs, which are some of the founding members of the Old Testament, they were called patriarchs. You have Abraham, and you have Isaac, and you have Jacob. If you were to take Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and plot out where God took them on their lives' journeys, plot out Moses and plot out Israel, you will find out that there are certain places in the Old Testament that God brought all of them to. Because places matter to God. You have Beersheba, you have Hebron, you have Bethel, you have Kadesh Barnea, and you have the capital of Israel, Jerusalem itself. Those were places that meant something to God. Now we see Elijah wasn't just the patriarch. Elijah being followed by Elisha on their journey, and his journey with destiny, which was the fiery chariot that was going to come down from heaven and take him into heaven. It launched him into a totally different dimension, where Elisha received the mantle as it fell from the heavens, and places of destiny that expanded and exploded them into a totally different dimension. But they had to go through some of the same places that God required other men and women to go through. Imagine Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary had to be at Bethlehem. Had to be at Bethlehem. Why did she have to be at Bethlehem? She could have given birth anywhere else. She had to be at Bethlehem because the Old Testament prophecy says, out of Bethlehem shall come the Savior. Places matter to God. We look at Hannah. Hannah, the mother of the high priest, who eventually became the high priest Samuel. Hannah had to be at the tabernacle, at the temple at Shiloh, in order to receive the blessing of the high priest. This is a good example of why sometimes it is very important that we attend church and attend church always. I wonder sometimes how many blessings that I have personally missed out on because I didn't attend a specific church service at a specific time. We'll never know that. Sometimes we pray and we pray and we pray and we say, God, please, please, please answer. Please answer. And a word goes forth on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or Wednesday night, and we're sitting at home on our patio frustrated because God isn't answering, and your answer is being delivered right here, but you're not here to receive it. You see, we look at David that day in the valley of Elah. He went to visit his brothers, to take some cheese and some bread, take them some food from home. That particular day, I don't know why he went that particular day, because I got the impression in reading the passage that they had been there for some time. But that particular day, the giant Goliath came down and began mocking the Lord God of Israel. And David says, I'm not going to put up. Have you guys been listening to this every day. Every day for 40 days he came out and mocked them. And David declared that, is there not a cause? Is there not anybody here that's going to go out there and shut that guy up? And what did David do? David said, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight the giant. He was at the right place because places matter to God. And by him being there at the right place at the right time, he slew the giant and David's life was changed forever. Israel was changed forever. You see, it was there that God set up a divine encounter. And God desires to set up a divine encounter for you and I here this morning. Because church, places matter to God. Places matter. We've all had that special place in our lives where perhaps we have felt God for the very first time. And we have our camp season, our church camp season coming up. In a few weeks, we have junior camp coming up, and then it's followed by senior camp, and then many of us will be going up to family camp. And for many of us, perhaps, our first life-changing place was in the old tabernacle up there on St. John's Church Road at the United Pentecostal Church campground. The old tabernacle that had the smell of creosote from the old timbers, but it was a place where the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost flowed. And it was there that perhaps you encountered a powerful, miraculous encounter with the Holy Ghost that changed your life forever. Because places matter to God. For others here, perhaps, maybe if you think back in your mind and you go back down memory lane, you will find yourself at the old building on Milwaukee Street, 3511. Milwaukee Street, and you will find yourself there. And it's a very special place in our lives. And it was under those pine wood plank ceilings and the red carpet that we maybe perhaps for the first time in our lives, we felt the power and the presence of the Holy Ghost. And we were able to take and be filled with his presence and with the Spirit. And all of the issues and the problems and all of the things that you had been battling and fighting with over a period of time. On that old red carpet, you shed many, many tears. And God began to work and do miracles in your life and begin to bless you. Because places matter to God. Perhaps for some of the older saints that are here, some of our older saints, maybe it was on Seagull Road, or you can go all the way back and to the YMCA building. Maybe it was any of these places that where you had that first encounter with God. And you can go back and you will remember the very spot, the very place in that building. Maybe perhaps you came to the Lord here at 5301 Commercial Avenue where God entered into your life and changed your life forever. Maybe it was in the old fellowship hall and you remember that exact spot, Sister Renee, where maybe you prayed and God filled you with the Holy Ghost in the old our fellowship hall now, and maybe you were one of those that were baptized in the old horse tank over there with the cold water in the closet. And you go back and you remember those times because those were the moments where God stepped in and did something of a miraculous thing in your life. And listen, I could go on and on and on about the very special places that we all have in our lives. Perhaps it was at this very altar right here, right in front of me here today, in front of you here today, that God came down in a miraculous way and filled you with the power of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you had received the Holy Ghost somewhere else and you came here and you desperately needed a touch from God and God came in and God touched you in such a powerful way. And all of these things, all of these places that you've been, all of these encounters that you have had, these all matter to God because places matter to God. We could go on and on about that very special place, that physical place, this church I believe that God is drawing us together as a body of Christ. His Holy Spirit is emphasized more and more and more in this season, in this house of God, in our local church. I believe that the power of God is flowing through the church, and He desires the same power to flow throughout our communities. Well, you may say this morning, Pastor, I'm really not a church-going person. I like to pop in every now and then, but I'm really not a church-going person. I just want to use my text today. It's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. I want to read this, and I want to interject a few things as I read this. It says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love." Now, he says, for good works. Perhaps he was talking about ministry here. So let us consider one another in order to stir up love, in order to get that passion stirred up within us, in order to get that love for God, a love for one another, love for kingdom stirred up to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So those of you that maybe don't believe that church matters, this matters. Paul writes this to the church, to the Hebrews, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the matter of some, but exhorting. I looked up exhorting. It means to encourage. Exhorting one another, encouraging one another. But it goes on, urging one another. Urging one another. This is a place where you and I should be able to come. We should be able to exhort one another. If someone's maybe having some problems and they're getting a little wayward, we can urge them. We can press them. We can push. We can insist. We can goading? Really? That's like poking. That's like, come on, Matthew, you can do this. You can do this. We got to come down sometimes, and we got to kind of like, come on, man. You're better than this. Get up here. Let's go. Come on. Get up. Come on. And we kind of goad them. We kind of push them. Come on. Kneel down. Repent. Come on. Come on. Yes. Yes. That's it. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. There you go. Both of them, man. There you go. Yeah. See? That's what you get for sitting on the front. You can go sit down until I'm going to need you in a few more lines. So, you see, he's pretty insistent in his wording here. He uses this word, and it could mean any of all of these things. And it says, and so much more, the more, so much more. So in the day and age that we live in, we shouldn't be having less church. We should be having more church. Why? Because the rapture is coming. It's getting closer and closer and closer. And God is desiring His body to get closer and closer and closer. In unity, and through that unity, power, empowerment comes. Meaning the closer we get to the second coming of Jesus Christ, we should have church more, not less. And to the church of Ephesus, he writes, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church. So in order to understand the manifold wisdom of God might be known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now we can kind of paraphrase this a little bit. And what he's saying is now that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to who? To the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. So God is saying, or Paul is saying here to the church of Ephesians, listen, there's a manifold wisdom of God that flows through the church body. And if you're part of that body, you're an active member of that body, an active participant of that body, you're faithful of to that body, that there's going to be wisdom that's going to be flow out of you and I, and even the powers and the principalities in the heavens are going to be aware, because you're part of a body, you're part of the church. And understand something, places matter to God. Places matter to God. We read in Ephesians 3:20, 21, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. And then we stop. But it goes on to say, to him be glory in the church, by Jesus Christ, to all generations, forever and forever. Amen. You see, I love Calvary Gospel Church. I love Calvary Gospel Church, not just because I'm the pastor of Calvary Gospel Church now, but I love Calvary Gospel Church. This has been my church home for almost 46 years of my 55 years on this earth. We moved here to Madison in 1972, and we've lived here ever since, and I've had no other church home. I haven't gone out thinking, well, I'm 18 years old now, Dad, leaving home. I think I want to go shopping for my own church. Nope. Because you see, the people here, you, every last one of you here, you are my brothers and you are my sisters. My friends are here. I look across this sanctuary and I see so many of you that I grew up with. Knew some of you when we were 12 years old, and we've grown up together in the church. And I'm thankful for that. My family's here. My mom, my dad, my brothers, my brother, my nephews, my nieces. They're all here. Why does this place have such a tug on my heart? Is because it's a place that I can come and I can seek refuge. Do you know that? It's a place where we can come for refuge. It's a place of power. When I need, you know, the enemy, he beats up on preachers too. I don't know if you know that or not. There are times I come in here and the lights are off, it's dark. The staff's over working away. I come in here and I just sit down. Sometimes I'll sit in the very seat that many of you are sitting in. You're predictable, in case you haven't known that. Of course, I'm pretty predictable too. I go from there to here. But you see, I sit in those seats and many times I will mention your name in prayer. Lord, pray for my brother today. I don't know what's happening in his life today. I don't know what's going on in the life of my sister today, but Lord, just give him a good day. It's not always something that's just long, drawn out, yelling, screaming, dancing. Sometimes it's just a small, I've been praying for you, Sister Ross. I know where you sit. I know you've been going through some serious health issues, and I just want to pray for my sister. This is where she sits, Lord. This is where she comes for refuge. This is where she comes when she's beaten. She's tired. She needs to be re-energized. This is a place. This place matters to God. Think about church. We can come here. We can weep together. It's a place where I know sometimes family at times, when we look at family, we say, oh, you know, I hate family reunions. Aunt Betsy, I hope no one's named Betsy here. Aunt Lulu, man, she just always wants to kiss me. This is, I'm reminiscing. These are memories coming back from my past. So had this one aunt that, I don't know if it was an aunt or great aunt, had this big mole, had more hair on her chin, and always wanted to give you a big hug and kiss you. And talk real fast, and her false teeth were like three lines behind her jaw. I'm just like, oh, I just want to go out and get some soda pop and hang out with the cousins. So sometimes everybody here, we're all family, and you know what? Sometimes family can be rude. You know that? Sometimes family can hurt. I have a family member that hasn't talked to a sister in, I don't know how many years it's been. Just something was said. Now they don't talk to one another. Nobody knows because they won't talk about it. You know, old people, present company excluded, can get stubborn sometimes. It's like we revert back to our twos and threes. Present company excluded, of course. You see, all of my spiritual fathers are here. Many of my life long mentors are here. People that I love to spend time with. I want to honor them, but I want to receive from them as well. You see, I receive encouragement when I need it. I've been taught, I've been mentored, I've been challenged. I've been given opportunity here. I see so many benefits to being at this place, this house of worship, where over and over and over again in the growing stages of my life, both physically and spiritually, I've been fed. I've been fed the bread of life from the Word of God. And you know what? I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've received so many, 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 many benefits from being here that I can't even fathom or begin to understand the impact that this place, this church, has had on my life. Some of you here, maybe Bishop was just your pastor for 3 or 4 years. He's been my pastor for 55 years of my life. He's still my pastor. He's my bishop. He's my pastor. I haven't known or been taught by anyone else. It's not your fault I turned out this way, by the way. I'll blame it on an uncle. You see, I have spiritual, he's my spiritual father as well as my physical father. I've received spiritual impartation from many of my spiritual fathers that at one time sat in these pews. Some have gone on to be with the Lord. My spiritual dads who have had such powerful yet intimate relationships with God. You see, if I'm going to try to gain anything from any individual, the first thing I want to look at is, what is their relationship with God? What is their relationship with God? I look back over the years. Of course, my own father, John Grant. I think of Irv Manley, who was in this congregation for many, many years before he passed. Brother Ken Armstrong, some of you don't even know who he was. Had an impact on my life. He was my junior high teacher. Brother Russell, who's gone to be with the Lord. Think of Brother Tom Nelson, Brother Rich Thomas, Brother Glenn Rossing, and Brother James Hawk that have had so much of an impact in my life. Brother Dave Haupt, Brother Bill Thorpe. I could go on and on and on. Brother Daniel Capaccio and I used to run the bus route together. Brother Daniel, you taught me how to drive a car and spin a donut. Relationships that have been developed here in this church. I look at the ladies of this church that have had such an impact on my life. My mother, Sister Manley, Sister Thorpe, Sister Nancy Fuller, Sister Russell, Sister Anderson, Sister Maurer, Sister Weekly, Sister Janet George, Sister Carrie Azell, Sister Grandma Powell, Grandma Mullen. I could go on and on and on. All of the brothers, my aunts, my uncles, my Aunt Jan. I could just talk, go go on and on. On all of the people that have had such an impact. Brother Keith Manley. Such an impact in my life. Why? Because church matters to God. This place matters. I don't know if you figured that out or not, but we have my brothers, my sisters, my sons. I guess you could say your spiritual sons, your spiritual daughters, and I could go on. And please don't get offended if I didn't mention your name. But I've learned what the anointing of the Holy Ghost is. I've learned how to obtain it. And as crazy as it may sound, I've learned how to try to control it in one person's life. Especially when it comes to preaching. Sometimes the anointing falls and you can just get wide open. I've learned by example how to fight spiritual warfare. I've learned Sister Vicky and Brother Scott. I've learned how to worship. I've learned how to be able to take in the importance of worship in a service. I've learned about impartation and how impartation, spiritual impartation, is so important in our lives and in so many areas of our lives. God desires to impart things into us spiritually and how He uses other people to do that. You see, we have all received in spiritual impartations in so many areas, and sometimes without even realizing at the time that those words of wisdom spoke by maybe Brother Elder Manley, Irv Manley at the drinking fountain, that later you would come back to those words and they would be have such a profound impact on your life. Let's just see a little side note here. For spiritual impartation to happen, for Elisha to receive the spiritual impartation from Elijah, Elijah says, if you want what I have, you've got to be here to get it. And the reason some of us, some of you have never received any level of spiritual impartation in your life is because you're never here to receive it. And yet we complain to God, God, how come I don't have this? Because that night when I poured it out on the congregation, you were home watching football. You were fishing. You had other things to do. Now, I understand schedules. We all go on vacation. I was on vacation. I missed church. There were things that were imparted here while I was gone. You see, spiritual impartation will happen when you place yourself under a spiritual covering with the right person and you remain faithful to that. You don't even know sometimes how it happens. It just does. So if you're seeking for spiritual impartation this morning, I just want to encourage you, stop seeking it. Just let God do it. Put yourself under the right person. Get the right people in your life. Connect yourself with the right person and remain faithful. Sometimes the right people in your life don't always... I want people in my life that don't always tell me what I want to hear. Because I want to be challenged. I want to grow. I want to learn. But if I always am hearing what people know or think I want to hear, then there's going to be no change. So get yourself in the right place under the right person. And stay there and stop spending so much time begging God. I want to be like Bishop Grant, Lord. Please, please, please. Just get here and be patient and listen. You see, what He imparted into me is being imparted into you. What he imparted into me, he imparted into everyone that has been here during the time of his ministry and is still here. So you wonder, how can some people be so wise and some people be so foolish? You can tell who sat here more often. Places matter, church. The right place matters to God. We've received as a church, you've received as an individual, so many benefits of so many prayers. I know prayers that have gone up for so many of you that you never even knew were going up because of godly men and women that were praying. They were praying the Word of God into your life. You see, coming into divine alignment with this place right here, this physical location, this local church, the Holy Ghost, this is a Holy Ghost infused church. This place has changed my life. You see, God brought me into this place. He's brought you into this place. I know it's a big place, a lot of people, but it's a place that we can call our church home. The local church, it's led by true shepherds, godly leadership, and there's so many true, blue, honest, and sincere mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and aunts and uncles in this place. It's a church that's based upon sound biblical doctrines and solid biblical principles and the anointing which only comes through God. Your church, God desires to continually advance you and I into a higher dimension so we can fulfill our divine destiny. And church, God is pushing. He's goading his church. He's saying, move forward. Grow up. You see, perhaps maybe today you're here and you already agree with almost everything that I've said, and you've allowed God to shape you and mold you. You've already aligned yourself up with God and this church body. And if that's so, that's a great thing. I want to encourage you to keep pushing forward. But maybe, perhaps this morning, you're not quite there yet. If our praise team can come at this time. Maybe you have a local church, but you really don't go very often. Perhaps you're kind of faithful, but you struggle with areas of discipline in your life, and you kind of attend when you want to and when you don't want to. You don't feel like it. Perhaps you go for months and months and you don't attend at all. If that's you today, it's important that you understand that you're missing out on one of life's greatest experiences. And that is the fellowship and the bond that one has with a body within a church. It's important that we understand that life's greatest experience, the power of the Holy Ghost, can be experienced right here in this church. Here in this church, if you feel that tug, that feeling that maybe in your life this morning, you know, I'm just missing something in my life. I just want to encourage you that what you found here today is you found food for your soul. You found food for your spirit. There are divine appointed relationships that God has already ordained for people that you don't even haven't even met yet that will speak into your life, that will help in your process to become a better Christian. You found prayer when you need it. You found hands-on ministry. We have classrooms going on right now all over the building. You find time just sitting here soaking in the presence of God through worship. You find encouragement. Maybe you need deliverance this morning. There's deliverance, there's healing, and there's so, so much more. You could stand to your feet. You see, every time the church gathers, I like to think of it this way. Every time we have church, I've emphasized this over and over and over again in our pre-service meetings. Every church service matters. There will never be this message preached to this exact body ever again. Did you know that? This service was tailor-made by the God of eternity, specifically for you and I here today. When you came here today, you had no idea what was going to be preached over this pulpit. So you're here today and you're receiving what I like to call a Holy Ghost upload into your life. And you see, God, that's the neat thing about God. When you experience God, when you first experience Him, you experience Him on a level one. It's a beginner level. But if you want more from God and you desire more from God, you know what? God will take and He will give you spiritual upgrades as you begin to grow. We have people in 101 right now. That's a spiritual upgrade. 201, 301, leadership at 401, ministry levels, because God desires you to continue to grow in Him. God desires to impart to you this morning. But you see, you can't receive impartation and ministry from your fathers when you don't spend time with them at this place. You need a victory. You can't win victories if you don't show up on the battlefield. Tired of one-sided relationships? Listen, you can't grow in relationships when you don't show up to the place where kindred spirits are. Church, this is the time and this is the place for new understanding, for new revelation and new dimensions in our God-given destinies. But you see, the simple fact is you and I, we cannot delight in the Father's banquet if we never show up for the meal. So this morning, what I want to do is, I just want to have all of us, I know we're not going to all fit up here, okay? But I'd just like for all of us to just come up as a body. You say, well, I don't feel very much like I'm part of this. Well, maybe it is somebody else's fault, but maybe it's just your perspective of things. I just want us to just begin to pray, lift our hands up, and I want us to just begin to thank God for the people that are standing around you. You've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, that spiritual impartation. You desire more from God. I just want to encourage you to just make your way up to the front. And then before we leave here this morning, I want our fathers, our uncles, our sons, I want you to just shake hands with one another. Give your brother a big hug and tell him how much you appreciate him. The same thing with our ladies. Just go to that one special lady, perhaps, that has imparted something.